إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. نسأله الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى عن الناس، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، نشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركها على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزغ عنها إلا هالك، فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير ما بما تعملون. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Indeed, it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made us Muslims. Indeed, it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us to Islam, who brought us in this holy day of the Jum'ah to come and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Him for mercy and forgiveness, to ask Him to qualify us for His mercy to enter His Jannah. Without His guidance, everybody would go astray. As you all know, the Muslims nowadays, anywhere in the whole world, you know, some live in misery, some live in sadness, some live in poverty. However, we make a comparison between us, ourselves, the Muslims of nowadays, and the Sahaba, and the people before us, and the Tabi'in. What was the difference, even though they might not have as much weight as we have nowadays? However, they lived with the living, with the means that they have. They were, at one time, they were amphibious. They had justice. They had security. But with everything that nowadays that we have, unfortunately, we are in debt. We have poverty. We have war. Anywhere in the world. So today, inshallah, I'm going to make a brief comparison between their time and our time. And can we come close to their time? Is it impossible? Were we ideal that we cannot be even close to them or not? One day the Sahabi radiallahu anhu Abul Khattab was sleeping, and he wakes up from a dream. From his dream he sees a little boy and the blood is gushing out of his head by the name of Umar, and from the Khilafa Amawi, which came in after Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And he sees that during that time of this young boy's life, he will spread justice, peace. People will be well off. So Umar came, who's this boy? Who's this boy? The Sahaba around him, they all learned about this story, and everyone put it in his mind that there is at one time a young boy will grow up to be a leader, and his time will be justice, security, safety, and everything one wishes. And the Sahaba told the people after them, the Tabi'in, that there is Umar that he saw me, and you know, this would happen. So everybody kept it in their mind. And as you all know, when Umar radiallahu anhu became the second Khalifa, he took it seriously. Khilafa to be a president or a king for any Ummah is a responsibility, as even one of us is responsible for something. So the load of responsibility of Khilafah to Umar was so heavy, it was too much. So radiallahu anhu, he used to have a responsibility for everybody in his Ummah. So he used to always go at night time, big time, we walk in the Medina, find out if anyone is in need, anyone is hungry, any child or anyone is crying, and would try to fulfill their needs. So one day he was walking around and he hears two women talking. One is killing the other one. The mother is killing the daughter. Add more water to the milk. Umar is not around to sell more, to make more money. And the daughter says, but the Lord of Umar can see us. Umar hears this talk between them. He goes home and he tells his sons, one of you has to marry that daughter in that house. So his son, one of his sons, Asim, by the name of Asim, marries this daughter. The days go by, they will have a daughter by the name of Layla. Sayyidah goes up and goes up. The first lesson that we want to learn from this story is number one, Allah is with us, sees us with our actions all the time, 24 hours all the time. So I don't have to be afraid of my neighbor, of my father, of my supervisor, of what I am going to do. Any action that I want to do, any act that I want to do, if it was my son or my daughter or my wife or dad, would I be ashamed to do it in front of them? Would I want to do it in front of them? If not, how can I do it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is watching me 24 hours all the time? So always, any action you want to do, put Allah in your mind. Allah is with me. Allah is with me on the action that I do. Do that according. So number one, Allah is watching us at all the times. Layla grows up and the days goes by, and at that time it was the Khilafah Amawi. And there was a government in Egypt by the name of Abdul Aziz bin Marwan. Abdul Aziz sees Layla, likes Layla, marries Layla. Days go by, he is the governor of Egypt. Now there is a difference between Khilafah of Khalifah Rashidin, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the Khilafah Amawi. Khilafah Amawi, there was so much money, the Khalifa would have so much around him and every government. So Umar, that time, Abdul Aziz, was way off, he was the governor of Egypt. So the wife, Layla, also had as much. The days go by, and they will have a son. The son is named Umar. So the son is named Umar bin, is the son of Abdul Aziz, who is the governor of Egypt. The boy grows up, the dad is well off, the dad is very rich. The boy goes around to play with the horses of his dad. One of the horses hits this young boy from him. And the young boy is bleeding. His dad sees this whole thing happen. So he is telling the boy in his mind, I hope you are that young boy that Umar al-Khattab at one time was dreaming about you. The boy grows up, he wants to learn Quran, so not only in Egypt, but the dad sends him to Egypt, to Medina Munawwara. In Medina Munawwara, he learns Quran, he becomes a hafiz, he surrounds himself around the scholars. He's growing up, the Khalifa at that time dies, Abdul Malik bin Marwan dies, and his brother Al-Walid takes over. As Umar grows up, Umar comes back to Egypt, and then the Khalifa Al-Walid sees from Umar, a nice young man, and Umar radiallahu anhu married Fatima, the daughter of the Khalifa Abdul Malik bin Marwan. And then he says, you are a nice young man, I want to appoint you to be the governor of Medina Munawwara. Umar goes in to Medina Munawwara. Now we have to think about this. Umar at the time, the son of a governor of Egypt, marries Fatima, she was the daughter of the Khalifa al-Islami. So they're well off, very well off. So he goes into Medina Munawwara, his caravan is about 50 or 60 camels, fully loaded of belongings. In Medina Munawwara, he spreads Islam, justice, safety among the Muslims. Everybody around him in Medina Munawwara, they like Umar. Al-Walid, Khalifa at the time, finds out that everybody likes him. He says, you're not only is the governor of Medina Munawwara, but I want you to be the governor of the Arabian Peninsula, the Saudi Arabia, the whole region. Everybody likes Umar. The justice, the peace, even people are well off. Now Khalifa has so many people with him and against him. One of the people that was his advisor by the name of Hajjaj bin Yusuf Thaqafi. And if you know some of the Hajjaj's history, was a murderer, did not have any mercy like some of the people that we know nowadays. So this Hajjaj goes into the Khalifa and says, listen, Umar bin Abdulaziz in the Medina and the Arabian Peninsula, everybody's liking him. So one of these days he might threaten your Khilafah. People might want to kick you out, and he will become the Khalifa. Khalifa, unfortunately, at that time says, okay, so he forces Umar to resign. Qamar leaves and comes to Elisha, to Damascus. Stay there for a while, Khalifa dies. Second lesson that we want to know is the Khalifa's advisor, Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj was a murderer, a killer. And the Prophet ﷺ hints us in the Hadith Sharif, المرض على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم أيهم يخالف. That means the Hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ tells us, your manners, your behavior is according to your friend. So make sure that the people around you, you be choosy with your friend. The same thing we apply to ourselves, to our children who are in schools, at home, our wives, our daughters, everybody around them, we have to be choosy and picky for all those friends. Because sometimes they imitate their friends, sometimes they copy their manners, their conduct. So the second thing, we have to be very choosy of our friends and the friends of our family. Times goes by and Khalifa Al-Walid died, his brother takes over by the name Salman bin Abdul Malik. And this Khalifa likes Omar. They are close and friends. Since he likes him, he says, Omar, I want to go back to be the governor of the Arabian Peninsula. Times goes by, the same thing happens. The Khalifa, the people in Medina, they love Omar, they like him. However, Salman bin Abdul Malik is dying. He's only dying. So he tells his advisor. Now, look at the difference between his advisor and Walid's advisor. His advisor is by the name of Raja bin Haywa. Raja used to be one of the well-known scholars of the time in Egypt. Very well-known scholar. So when he advises the Khalifa for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for anything else. Not for any worldly gain that will afford him to be a minister. No, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, I would advise you, take his opinion. Who do you think should be the Khalifa after me? Since everybody in my family, all the kids were young. He said, I will advise you and advise. And this advice, inshaAllah, it will be good for you in your grave and in the day of judgment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, why did you appoint such and such to be a Khalifa? So he asked him, who's that? He said, you should appoint Umar bin Abdul to be your next Khalifa. The Khalifa likes him, their friend. But he likes him, and he likes his history. Umar, after all, spread in the Medina al-Munawwara and the Arabian Peninsula, people love him. So he said, bring me a book, and he writes, the next Khalifa for the Muslims after me would be Umar bin Abdul. And he seals the book and tells him, don't open your mouth until after my death. Now the Khalifa dies. The Khalifa dies and it becomes the duty of Raja, the scholar slash judge, to execute this order of Umar bin Abdul Aziz to be the Khalifa. He goes in to the Muslims, gathers the Muslims and everybody there and the government, and he says, your Khalifa has died and has appointed a new Khalifa for you. And this new Khalifa for you is Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Now, how did Umar react? How did the Muslims react for this news? This, inshallah, we will be talking about it after the second khutbah. Today is Friday, the holy day for the Muslims. So make dua for yourselves, for the Muslims everywhere. Put the holy water. الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك The judge tells them, your next Khalifa is Umar. And everybody is quiet. Umar looks at him and he says, I have been appointed to be your Khalifa. Stands up in front of the Muslims and he says, I have been appointed to be your Khalifa. Nobody took my opinion. Nobody asked you. Sure. Consultation. third thing for us to learn. First thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us. He's our action 24 hours. So any action we do is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fear Allah, nobody else. Second thing, we should know who are our friends of our kids, wives, daughters, and everything. Third thing, as a Muslim, always ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. The opinion of two or three people much better than or wiser than my own self. I can come to a conclusion or make a decision, will be sorry for it afterwards. Why? Because sometimes you're nervous, you're anxious, you want to do something quick. So always consult, especially the wise ones, the people who are older than you, they might know better than you. So he tells them, I am no longer your Khalifa. You have to consult and appoint your own Khalifa. They stay quiet and think and think and think, and they know Umar history in the Medina and the Arabia and the Mountain, and they say, we want you to be our Khalifa. Finally, he accepts and he becomes their Khalifa on a Friday. Umar goes home. Now, you know, as you all know, that whenever somebody comes in, a new president or Khalifa, there is the people who want to be close to the Khalifa or the president. It's a worldly game, a position, a minister, an ambassador or something. So the poets, they all come to Umar's house, and everybody had already had written a poem to tell him how just you are, how nice you are, how kind you are, so mighty. So the son, Umar tells the son, tell them all to go home and tell them how Allah Jalaluddin, inni akhafu in asaitu Rabbi ala yawm al-azim. Tell them, I'm afraid if I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be severe punishment for them. The only, he sits in his room crying. He sits in his room crying. The wife comes in, asks him, why are you crying? He said, today I have been appointed to be the Khalifa of the Muslims. And in this ummah, there is the needy. There is the one with the kids, and there is the orphans, and there is the poor, and the keen, and the old, and the young, and I have been appointed their responsibility. So I'm afraid, no matter what I do, a day for judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me about all these people, and I will not have a good of an excuse to tell Ya Allah, I did not do this because of it. Cries, and then he starts to do the steps to become the Khalifa. First thing he does, every king, because he came in, his dad was a governor, his father-in-law used to be the Khalifa. Everything that Umar inherited from his dad, everything goes to Bayt al-Muslimin, the treasury of the Muslims. Now I want you to think about this. The Muslim countries that you see all, anyone, if they did one third, one tenth of what they have, to put it in the Bayt al-Muslimin, the treasury of the Muslims, would the condition of the Muslims would be better or worse? So first thing, everything he owned, put it in the treasury bag in the Muslims. He refused to take a salary. Whatever he had of income was his own. No salary for him. Third thing, told his wife, at one time you were the daughter of the Khalifa. All the jewelry that you had, Allah knows, because remember the Dawla Amawiya at that time, they had money all over the place, everybody had much more than they wanted. So one or two things you have. Umar, your Khalifa, and this money, this jewelry, cannot keep in the same house. So you can choose. Either we all this jewelry put it in Baytul Mal, or you are free to leave. Fourth lesson for us. Look at her reaction. She said, O Khalifa, if I had double the amount of jewelry in this house, I would give it up for the Muslims. You are much more important for me. Values. Why? Because everything else goes. You die, everything that you have, somebody else. And they can waste it in a blink of an eye. So values for this life are much more. Being is much more valuable to us than the worldly king. Stand up with her husband in all time. And the Khalifa, if you please try to read about him, you'll see that his Khilafah was not an easy thing. He said it. That he is standing in front of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking him the same yaqeen and the same belief that you see this podium. You see it. And he says it exactly. So he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask him, so he acted accordingly. So the third thing that he did, all the jewelry, given to Bayt al-Mal. Fourth thing, all the government, anyone that was around the Khalifa at that time, he brought him home and he said, everything that you have, explain it. And he came up with a principle up until now, they say, من أين لك هذا؟ من أين لك هذا means, what did you bring this money from? If you have a way to justify it, it's yours. If you don't, have to go back to Bayt al-Muslim. All of them, first time around, some said yes, we'll give it. Majority did not give it back. So he invited them all to a walima. Nice, very kind he was to them, and told them, this is the right of the Muslims, not yours. If you do not have a good excuse for it, please bring it back. Yet they did not listen, and a lot of people don't listen. So what he did, he made courts, and he said, every one of you, if you do not have a good excuse, you'll go to court and you might be going to jail. Every one of them took the money, gave it back to Bayt al-Mal. His conditions, him as a Khalifa, small simple house, maybe one or two dresses that he had, everything goes to Bayt al-Mal. He copied his grandfather, Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله عنه. He did not ask for Khilafah. His life was a tough life. When he would do any affairs for the Muslims, he would have a candle or a light that belongs to the Muslims. Anything personal, he would do on his own. Khilafah was put on him, he did not choose it. Unfortunately, nowadays, you look anywhere and everywhere, everyone is in. He's the president or the king, whether you like it or you don't. It, for them, did not matter. Nowadays, it doesn't matter, even if he kills his whole population. Look in Libya, look at some of the Muslim countries. Does not care for the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values this human life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَقْتِلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, anybody kills a Muslim or a human life intentionally, meaning I want to kill life, while they are saying, drive the car, with a chance, with anything, he will be thrown in the hellfire forever. Khalidan here means forever. He will get the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and severe punishment in the day of judgment. The human life is very sacred to the Muslims. At one time, in one of the battles, the Muslims and the non-believers, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was in the battlefield. And one of the mushrikeen, none of the believers, he ran away. So him and another man, they followed him. And they followed him, so he knew that that's it, they're going to kill him. So he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The other guy left. Usama killed him. Usama killed him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out that Usama killed a person that said, La ilaha illallah. He made it to Usama, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? What did he do with him? He said, Ya Rasulullah, when he knew that we're going to kill him, that's it, he said it. He said, do you know what's in his heart? You killed him after he said this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept repeating the same sentence to a degree where Usama said, I wish I had not been a Muslim at that time. So killing a Muslim life is something huge, something severe. Unfortunately nowadays, the Muslim life does not mean anything. The whole world has come with so many resolutions in order to execute something very simple. People are dying. The Muslims don't have any power to defend their own. They sit and watch. However, if it was cats or dogs or anything else, the whole world will jump in it. So Umar radiallahu anhu takes this responsibility on his shoulders and does everything within his own. Brothers and sisters, he is down. In 29 months, he took the Khilafah at the age of 35 years old. 35 years old. 29 months, 2.5 years, to bring the Khilafah. You would tell all his governors, everywhere you go, every Muslim in this, under this Khilafah, in this Ummah, had to have a house. Every Muslim had to have a wife if they wanted to get married. Had to have furniture in their house. Had to have a horse to go around. Told his government everyone to go anywhere. Anybody that's in debt, pay off his debt. Anybody needs money, poor, pay them. This, by the way, was for the Muslims and the non-Muslims. anybody who wants to get married, get them married. Nowadays, so many people want to get married, but they don't have. So unfortunately, they go to her. Towards the end of his life, before he died, his cousin comes into him and tells him, Ya Khalifa, look, you are dying, and mashallah, he had 12 or 13 kids. Why don't you leave some money to your children? He tells him, look at his house. Do you see anything in his house? There's nothing in his house. Barely anything left to speak on, maybe 1 or 2 thousand, that's all. He said, you want me to take something from Baytul Mal and give it to my children? This is haram. You want me to go to the hellfire? I won't do it. He said, my children are one of two things. They are good Muslims or bad. If they're good Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for righteous people, Allah will take care of them. If they're bad, I don't want them to waste some money, as I said, for haram. And the last lesson that we will learn from this whole khutbah is like when you read in Surah Al-Kahf about Musa alayhi salam and Khadr, when they came in and they saw, entered this town and they saw the wall was falling apart, and the Khadr and Musa, they fell with it. Why? Because they said, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Some scholars, they said, maybe their grandfather was good. So Allah brought somebody to come to read them this wall. So because the woman, the first woman that was talking with her mom, told her mom, Allah, the Lord of Allah sees us, maybe because of her righteousness, Allah had, subhanahu wa ta'ala, had rewarded her with somebody years after her life, through Islamic justice and Islamic ummah and khilafah to the Muslim in 2.5 years. May Allah give us the wisdom to learn, understand. May Allah give the Muslim leaders everywhere the wisdom to have good advisors, to advise them for the best of their people. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها إنك أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله على ما تصنعون. الله أكبر.